So Yashir was taken faint with the awareness and covered with the wound of the scourge in the sight of the multitude, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with the purple and placed a crown of the thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Occasionally, some wicked hands snatched the reed that had been placed in his hand and struck the crown upon his brow, forcing the thorns into his temples and sending the blood trickling down his face, and heard, "Wonder, O heaven, and be astonished, O earth. Behold, the oppressor and the oppressed, a maddened throng, and clothes the Savior of the world. Mocking and jeering are mingled with the coarse oaths of the blasphemer. His lowly birth and humble life are commented upon by the unfeeling mob. His claim to be the son of Yahweh is ridiculed, and the vulgar jest and insulting sneer are passed from lip to lip. Satan had the cruel mob in his abuse of the Savior. It was his purpose for the provoking him to retaliation, if possible, or to drive him to perform a miracle to release himself and thus break up the plan of his salvation. One stain upon his human life, one failure of his humanity for the enduring of the terrible test, and the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, would have been an imperfect offering, and the redemption of man a failure. But he who by a command could bring the heavenly host unto his aid, he who could have driven that mob in the terror from his sight by the flashing forth of his divine majesty, submitted with the perfect calmness to their coarsest insult and outrage. Yahshua's enemies had demanded a miracle as the evidence of his divinity. They had evidence far greater than any they had sought, as their cruelty degraded his tortures below humanity into the likeness of the Savior, so did his meekness and patience exalt Yahshua above the humanity and prove his kingship to Yahweh. For his abasement was the pledge of his exaltation, for the blood drops of the agony that from his wounded temples flowed down his face and beard were the pledge of his anointing with the oil of the gladness. Hebrews 1:9. As our great high priest, Satan's rage was great as he saw that all of the abuse inflicted upon the Savior had not forced the least a murmur from his lips, although he had taken upon him the name of the man. He was sustained by a Yahweh-like fortitude and departed in no particular from the will of his father. When the pilot gave Yahshua up to be scourged and mocked, he sought unto for the exciting of the pity of the multitude, for he hoped that they would decide that this was a sufficient punishment. Even the malice of the priest, he thought, would now be satisfied. That with the keen perception, because he saw the weakness of thus punishing a man who had been declared innocent, he knew that Pilate was trying to save the life of the prisoner, and they were determined that Yahshua should not be released. To please and satisfy us, Pilate excused him. They thought, and if we pressed the matter to a decided issue, we shall surely gain our end. But Pilate now sent his sent for Barabbas to be brought from the court. He then presented the two prisoners side by side, and pointing unto the Savior, he said in a voice of the all solemn entreaty, "Behold the man that I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." There arose let's read this again. For they knew that the pilot was trying to save the life of the prisoner, and they were determined that the Yahshua should not be released. For the pleasing and satisfying us, Pilate has scourged some, they thought, and if we press the matter to a decided issue, we shall surely gain our end. Okay. For the pilot now sent for the Barabbas to be brought into the court. He then presented the two prisoners side by side, and pointing unto the Savior, he said in a voice of a solemn entreaty, "Behold the man, I bring him forth unto you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." There stood the son of Yahweh, wearing the robe of the mockery, and their crown of the thorns, stripped to the waist, his back scourged, the long cruel stripes from which the blood that flowed freely, his face was stained with the blood and bore the worst of the marks of the exhaustion and pain, but there never had appeared more beautiful than now, for the Savior's visage was not marred. Before his enemy, every feature expressed gentleness resigned resignation and the tenderest pity for his cruel foe. In his manner, there was no cowardly weakness, but the strength and dignity of the long suffering. In the striking contrast was the prisoner at his side. Every line of the countenance of the Barabbas proclaimed him as the hardened ruffian that he was. For the contrast spoke unto every beholder. Some of the spectators were weeping as they looked upon Yahshua. Their hearts were full of the sympathy. Even the priests and rulers were convicted that he was all that he claimed to be. For the Roman soldiers that surrounded Yahshua were not all hardened. Some were looking earnestly into his face for one evidence that he was a criminal or dangerous character. From time to time they would turn and cast a look of the contempt upon the Barabbas, for it needed no deep insight to read him through and through. Again, they would turn unto the one upon trial. They looked at the divine sufferer with the feelings of the deep pity, the silent submission of the Yahshua stamped upon their minds. The scene never to be effaced until they either acknowledge him as the Yahshua or by the rejecting him decided their own destiny. Pilate was filled with the amazement at the uncomplaining patience of the Savior, for he did not doubt that the sight of the man in the contrast with the Barabbas would move the Jews to sympathy, but he did not understand the fanatical hatred of the priests for him, who, as the light of the world, had made manifest their darkness on earth, for they had moved the mob unto a mad fury And again, the priests, rulers, and people raised that awful cry, crucify him, crucify him. At last, losing all patience with their unreasoning cruelty, Pilate cried out despairingly, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. For the Roman governor, though familiar with the cruel scene, was moved with a sympathy for the suffering prisoner who condemned and scourged with a bleeding brow and lacerated about, still had the bearing of a chain upon his throne. But the priest declared, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself a son of the Yahweh. Pilate was startled. He had no correct idea of Yahshua and his mission, but he had an indistinct faith in the Yahweh and in the beings superior unto the humanity. He thought that had once before passed through his mind, now took more of a definite shape, for he questioned whether it might not be a divine being that stood before him, clad in the purple robe of the mockery and crowned with the thorns. For the pilot then took his place on the judgment seat and again presented Yahshua unto the people, saying, behold your king. Again the mad cry was heard, away with him, crucify him. And a voice that was heard far and near, Pilate asked Shallox, crucify your king. But from the profane blasphemous lips went forth the word, we have no king but Caesar. Thus, by the treason of a heathen ruler, the Jewish nation had withdrawn from the theocracy. They had rejected Yahweh as their Yahshua as their king, the son of Yahweh. Henceforth, they had no deliverer. They had no king but Caesar. To this, the priests and teachers had led the people for this, with the fearful result that followed. They were responsible as a nation's sin and as a nation's ruin was due for the religious leaders, were due for to the religious leaders. Let's read that again. For a nation's sin and a nation's ruin were due to the religious leaders. When the pilot saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye unto it. In the fear and self-condemnation all that looked upon the Savior and the vast sea of the upturned of faces. His alone was peaceful. About his head a soft light seemed to shine. All it said in his heart, he is a God. Turning to the multitude, he declared, I am clear of his blood. Take ye him and crucify him. That mark ye, priest and ruler. I pronounce him a just man. May he whom he claims as his father judge you and not me for this day's work. Then unto Yahshua he said, forgive me for this act, I cannot save you. And when he had again scourged Yahshua, he delivered him to be crucified. For the pilot longed to deliver to Yahshua, but he saw that he could not do this and yet retain his own position and honor rather than lose his worldly power. He chose to sacrifice an innocent life. How many to escape loss or suffering in the like manner sacrifice principle, conscience, and duty point one way and self-interest points another. The current sits stronger in the wrong direction, and he who compromises with the evil is swept away into the thick darkness of the guilt. Pilate yielded unto the demands of the mob rather than risk losing his position. He delivered Yahshua up to be crucified. But in the spite of his precautions, the very thing he dreaded afterwards came upon him. For his honors were stripped from him. He was cast down from his high office and stung by the remorse and wounded pride. Not long after the crucifixion, he ended his own life. So all who compromise with the sin will gain only the sorrow and ruin. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. When the pilot declared himself innocent of the blood of the Yahshua, Caiaphas answered defiantly, his blood be on us and on our children. For the awful words were taken up by the priests and rulers and echoed by the crowd and an inhuman roar of the voices. For the whole multitude answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. For the people of Israel had made their choice, pointing unto Yahshua. They had said, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, the robber and murderer, was the representative of Satan, but Yahshua was the super, was the representative of the Yahweh, the Father. But Yahshua had been rejected, Barabbas had been chosen. Barabbas, they were to have and making in making this choice, they accepted him who from the beginning was a liar and a murderer. Satan was the leader. As a nation, they would act out his discretion. His works they would do. His rule they must endure. The people who choose Barabbas, or who chose Barabbas in the place of Yahshua, were to feel the cruelty of the Barabbas as long as time should last. Looking upon the smitten Lamb of Yahweh, the Jews had cried, the blood be on us, and the awful cries towards them. Let's read that again. Looking up on the smitten Lamb of Yahweh, the Jews had cried, his blood be on us and on our children. That awful cry ascended unto the Son of Yahweh, for that sentence pronounced upon themselves was written in heaven. That prayer was heard. The blood of the Son of Yahweh was upon their children and their children's children a perpetual curse. A perpetual curse. Okay, it says that. Terrible was the terrible was it realized and the destruction of the Jerusalem, terrible had it been manifested in the condition of the Jewish nation for the 1800 years. A branch severed from the vine, or a branch severed from the vine of a dead, fruitless branch, to be gathered up and burned from land to land throughout the world, from century to century, dead, dead, and the trespass and our sins. Terrible will that prayer be fulfilled in the great judgment day, when the Yahshua shall come onto the earth again, and not as a prisoner surrounded by a notable will. Men see him, they will see him then as a heaven a king. Yahshua will come in his own glory, and the glory of his Father, and the glory of the holy angels, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels, that beautiful and triumphant sons of the Yahweh, possessing surpassing loveliness and joy, will escort him on his way. then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Then every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. And the place of a crown of the thorns, he will wear a crown of glory, a crown within a crown, and the place of that old purple kingly robe, he will be clothed in a raiment the whitest white, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Mark 9:3. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written will be written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, and Revelation 19:10. Those who mocked and smote him will be there, for the priests and rulers will behold again the scene in the judgment hall. Every circumstance will appear before them as if written in the letters of fire. Then those who prayed, his blood be on us and on our children, will receive the answer to their prayer. Then the whole world will know and understand, they will realize, and what they are, who and what they poor people, finite beings, have been warning against, and the awful agony and horror they will cry to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:16-17. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us in the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.